November, Year of God, 894. 1. NGS Sword of God, 50, off the Windmore Coast, Gulf of Taro.
I'm finding it difficult of late to remember that God and Langhorne send all good things in their own time.
Cornelis Harper remarked as he reached for his hot chocolate. He looked across the table at his flag captain and smiled crookedly.
Or perhaps I should actually say I'm finding it difficult to possess my soul in patience until Langhorne tumbles the minions of Shan Wei into the pit prepared for them.
The minions in question do seem to be exceptionally pestiferous, don't they, my lord?
Father Arnald agreed.
I think that's what makes it so difficult to remember that to all things there comes a season.
And I suppose this is the season for provoking my ulcers.
Harper shook his head, then sipped chocolate. Arnald Tybald snorted and began spreading butter on another biscuit. Stowed down in the coolness of the flagship's bilge, the butter had kept remarkably well so far. It was finally beginning to turn rancid. It always did. But it was still more palatable than dry biscuit, especially with a little jam, and at least the hens and wyverns were both still producing fresh eggs. Harper had already finished his own eggs and bacon, and he pushed back his chair. Tybald began to rise himself, but the Admiral General waved him back.
"Finish breakfast, Arnald," he scolded. "Not even a batch of Shan Wei damned heretics is going to come calling on us in the next 15 minutes."
"Of course, my lord. Thank you."
Tybald would actually have preferred to go ahead and stand, if Harper was going to. It seemed disrespectful not to, but he knew it would irritate the Admiral General. For that matter, Harper would scold him again if he seemed to be bolting his food to get finished quickly. So he made himself chew slowly and methodically, while Harper stepped out onto Sword of God's sternwalk. The flagship sailed steadily on a roughly southwesterly heading, with the wind on her larboard quarter under topsails and topgallants. She was doing well to make 4 knots under that little canvas, given the current wind conditions, and Harper would really have preferred to make more sail. Unfortunately, Duke Sunrising's ship's seamanship didn't seem to be quite as good as his own.
"Not surprisingly," the Admiral General thought grumpily, "I'm glad the Duke is so eager to coordinate with us, and I'm awed by his, or his secretary's at least, command of the language. Still, I probably could survive without those incredibly flowery letters if he'd just actually institute the sail drill I asked for."
He carefully did not apply to the Harchongi's fleet commander a term bishops weren't supposed to use to describe faithful sons of Mother Church. Under the circumstances, it required more self-discipline than usual.
"Maybe I should have let Arnald deal with it. Let him talk to Wind Mountain, one flag captain to another flag captain. Maybe we could have finessed it past Sunrising that way. Of course, given the fact that Sunrising hates Wind Mountain's father's guts, that might have worked out even worse. Or as badly, at least. I don't really think it could have worked out worse. Unless Sunrising could have figured out how to actually undo the drill they have carried out."
His lips twitched, although the thought really wasn't all that humorous. It was entirely possible Sunrising could have figured out a way to do that. If anyone on Safehold was capable of such a feat, it would have to be the Duke. The Admiral General wrapped both hands around the chocolate cup. The sun was bright, and he'd been delighted to leave the bitter cold behind. The Icewind Sea had been bad enough in October. The passage of storms and the Markovian Sea had been still worse in their own ways, even if they had been marginally warmer. The passage of storms, especially, had done everything possible to live up to its name. In fact, his face tightened. He'd lost 2 ships to one of the furious gales which had swept over his fleet. That storm had scattered his formation badly, too. If the Carizians had happened upon him then, with his ships spread out all over the ocean, Langhorne only knew what they might have done to him. But they were nearing the equator now, and the Gulf of Taro was a far more pleasant experience in November than the Markovian Sea in October. It was still cool this early in the morning, but by late afternoon he'd be wishing he could have hung on to the morning chill, especially if the wind didn't strengthen. He gazed into the east wind, eyes slightly squinted against the still low-lying sun. There'd been a distinctly reddish cast to the dawn, and a smear of cloud seemed to be swelling up along the horizon.
"Red sun at morning, sailor take warning," he quoted to himself. "The writ warns against self-prideful predictions. I wonder if I could have been a bit hasty congratulating myself on having left the heavy weather behind."
He sipped chocolate, then looked up as the cries of gulls and shrill whistles of wyverns came down from above. The winged creatures swarmed out from the coast of the Republic of Sidarmark's Windmore province, and as he watched, one of the wyverns swooped down to snatch something from the sea. He couldn't tell whether it was a fish or a bit of garbage scooped out of Sword of God's wake, but he found himself wishing the wyvern well, whatever it had found.
"I see the Admiral of the Broad Oceans is still with us, my lord," a voice said, and Harper turned to find Tybald had joined him on the sternwalk.
Like the Admiral General, the flag captain had brought along his chocolate cup. Now he leaned his hip against the sternwalk's rail and nodded in the direction of a particularly untidy gaggle of sails trailing along to the north-northwest.